Hello everyone and welcome back to Beast Corner, a true crime podcast where I dive into some of the most infamous true crime cases of all times. So for today's episode, we're going to be talking about the woman who solved her own episode, Teresita Bassa. She was killed in 1977, and a few weeks later, apparently, she solved her own murder. So let's get into it. In February 1977, Chicago police were left baffled by the brutal murder of a middle-aged healthcare worker. Teresita Bassa, a respiratory therapist at Edgewater Hospital, had been found naked, stabbed in the chest with a butcher's knife, set alight, and left under a burning mattress in her 15th floor apartment. Police interviewed family and friends but came up with no leads as to who might have wanted to kill Bassa. A quiet, well-educated, music-loving woman who had moved to the US from the Philippines more than a decade earlier. One of the clues was a note in her diary reading, "Get tickets for AS." 6 months into the police investigation, it looked like the case might never be solved. Then a tip came, but it was a very strange one. A surgeon, Dr. Jose Shua, claimed that his wife Remy, who also worked as a respiratory therapist at Edgewater Hospital, had been possessed on three occasions by Teresita Bassa. He said while his wife was possessed, she appeared to be in a trance and was speaking in Bassa's native tongue, Tagalog, a language she was familiar with but rarely spoke. Doctor, I would like to ask for your help, were her first words. The man who murdered me is still at large. Dr. Chua didn't know what to think. He actually explained this as, "I was really surprised and scared when I asked her name and she answered, Akoi Teresita Bassa. I might be mispronouncing that, but basically means I am Teresita Bassa." But then he continues on to say, "She told me I had nothing to be scared of. She was really pleading for me to help solve her murder." Dr. Chua said while Bassa possessed his wife, she claimed she had been murdered by a man called Alan Chavry, AS, who repaired her TV, but then stabbed her and stole her jewelry. Surprisingly, detectives Joseph Stashula and Lee Eplin took the trial seriously. There was the fact that Alan Chavry had the initials AS, the same initials they'd seen in Bassa's diary, but there was more to it than that. Detective Sarchula actually explained this as, "I talked to pimps, prostitutes, drug addicts in the Belmont area. Dr. and Mrs. Chua are educated, intelligent people who live in a nice house. A distinct change for me. I wanted information on this murder. I listened and acted on what they told me." Chavry was known to Chua and to Bassa. He worked as a respiratory technician at the same hospital where both Chua and Bassa were respiratory therapists. Chavry had been in a difficult financial situation, and Bassa had been helping him out by paying him generously to do small jobs for her. The detectives went to Chavry's apartment, which he shared with his pregnant partner, Yanka Kalmuk. They found Kalmuk to have a pearl ring and a jade pendant that had belonged to Bassa. She said Chavry had given her jewelry as a late Christmas present. Chavry initially denied killing Bassa, but after being taken to the police station, he signed a confession. He said he had visited Bassa at her home, attacked her, stolen the jewelry, and lit the fire before leaving. But later, Chavry retracted his confession, saying police had threatened to arrest the pregnant Kalmuk if he didn't confess. His lawyer, William Svano, called for the murder charge to be dismissed, saying police had arrested him on nothing more than the Chua's bizarre story. He actually explained this as, "Never to my knowledge has a man been arrested because of supernatural vision. Police have never before been informed of a criminal's name by a voice from the grave. But the judge decided the trial should go ahead. A spokesperson for the prosecutor's office told the Washington Post, "It's not like we're going to cross-examine the voice or anything of that nature. We're really not interested in the supernatural aspect of this trial." The voice was an initial tip, but the evidence was developed independently. The trial received huge publicity with the headlines like, "Did voice from grave finger murder suspect?" It ended in a mistrial with a deadlocked jury. A month later, while waiting for a new trial to begin, Shaveri suddenly changed his plea to guilty. They sentenced him to 14 years for murder, robbery, and arson. So did a voice from beyond the grave really send a man to jail, or could there be a more mundane explanation? Remy Chua and Shaveri did work together, so Chua may have found out something incriminating about Shaveri through the hospital. Plus, it's possible that Chua had a grudge against Shaveri, as it's been reported that he had made complaints about the quality of her work. Shaveri's lawyers tried to suggest in court that Chua was the real killer, that she had sold Shaveri the jewelry, which explained why Kalmuk had it, and then came up with the possession idea after losing her job at the hospital. However, Selzer adds that Chua was never truly considered a suspect. The Chuas went on to write a book, A Voice from the Grave, co-authored by their friend Carol Mercado, not sure. "All of us wanted to believe in life after death," Dr. Chua said. The case was featured in an episode of Unsolved Mysteries and then turned into a telemovie, Voice from the Grave. And yeah, that's the history of the woman who solved her murder, Teresa Bassa. So what do you guys think? Did Mrs. Chua was responsible? Did Mrs. Chua kill her and frame it on Shaveri? Or did she actually solve her murder from the grave? And that's it for today, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And subscribe if you guys want to see more of true crime things. And yeah, I would also like to apologize for mispronouncing any words or having any type of grammar mistakes. English is not my first language. And I'll see you guys in the next episode.